Well, good morning and welcome to church, every one of you. We trust you are well and continuing to keep safe and being encouraged. And that's the reason why we meet together, is that we might encourage one another for the day when Christ Jesus returns and takes us home to be with him. A special welcome to our young people who are here with us this morning. Naomi, Charlie and Erwin, and any other young people that might be listening in today. Bella, we think you might be listening in at home with Mum. And joining us is the start of church today. A little later in the service, they'll go out for kids' church and join us back in church and maybe tell us something about what they've learnt in kids' church today. For those listening in or visiting our service, my name is the Reverend Trevor Young. I'm the Senior Minister here at Abbotsford Anglican Church. Welcome. We here at Abbotsford Anglican are about a group of local people of all ages and all backgrounds. We've come to find meaning and purpose in living life God's way according to his word, the Bible. And we invite you and those listening in to know God with us. Involved in the service today will be Tina, and she's going to be leading our service. And I say Robin will read the Bible reading to us. Diane will lead us in prayer, and our musos today are Sam on the keyboard, Rosemary and David are our song leaders. Our Bible teaching this morning continues through the book of Luke, the Gospel of Luke. And today we're thinking about, yes, Jesus has authority over sickness. Our mission focus for February is on special religious education in our two local public schools. And it's great to know that God's answered our prayers and we can return to teaching scripture in our two local public schools from the 22nd of February. We're also mindful of the ministry of Anglican school chaplains. So let me begin with prayer and we'll sing a song to start with. Heavenly Father, this time with you and your people is special. Take our anxious thoughts and let us know your peace, your presence, and your power. May we listen to your word with expectation. Engage in what we pray and say, and worship you with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Well, our first song is a familiar one, Beautiful Saviour. All the days I will sing this song of gladness. Please stand.
Share one. mystery. You're the way, the truth, the light, star of the morning, glorious in holiness. You're the risen one, heaven's champion, and you reign, you reign, beautiful Savior.
Starting off our services. Come on in, kids. Come on up the front. Come on up the front. Come on, Lisa. Come on in. Wonderful to see you, Ian. Great. Come on through. Now, we've started our services off this month, this year, with a little game or a little puzzle or something that will help us to think about what we're going to be hearing from God in His Word. And so, to start with, I've got a little puzzle. When you think you know what the picture is, tell me. All right, put up your hand and I'll point to you and you can tell me what you think it is. Here we go. All right, what is it? Surely you know what it is. Huh, okay. Anyone got an idea? All right, yeah, Naomi? Is it the top of an ambulance? Well, it could be. Let's see if we find out a little bit more, Naomi, all right? Let's go and see. Here we go. One more. One more. One more. Another one. Yeah, well done, Naomi. Awesome. Straight up. There we go. We've got an ambulance straight through. Now, who are the people, when would you most likely call for an ambulance? Put up your hands, anybody? Yeah, Erwin? When you're hurt, yeah. If someone gets hurt, you call for an ambulance. That's right. And so who might come in the ambulance? Here's a bit of a hint. Who do you reckon it might be? Yep. Erwin? It could be a doctor, yeah, in the ambulance. They've got a special name. Starts with a P. Yep. Yeah, or a nurse, all right. Maybe some of the adults might know what this one is. Starts with a P. Yeah, K. A paramedic, all right. Might come. Now, if I spelled it right, this is one of the, yeah, good. A paramedic might come, especially if you hurt yourself, all right. What they do is they come in, she takes charge, and she's in control of the situation. Anyone been in that situation? I could tell you a very funny story, and I will over morning tea, about having to call an ambulance myself for Rosemary a couple of years ago. But I'll tell you over morning tea. All right. The paramedic, what's this next person here? We saw them last week. What do you reckon it might be? Yeah, Linda? A king. All right, next one. In a firm, in a business. Okay, you've answered a question already, all right. Who might it be in the office? Starts with a B. The boss. Yep, yeah, the boss is in the kitchen, in the office. All right. And all these people have something that starts with A. What is it? We heard it last week. It's authority. It's authority. All right. I wonder who the boss of the church is. Who do you reckon the boss of the church is? Yeah? No, not him. No, he's not. No, it's not me. Who do you think it might be? I'll give you a clue. It's Jesus. Yeah, Jesus. He's the boss. Jesus is the Son of God, the mighty, mighty King. God has made him the boss of everything. And in our Bible teaching today, and maybe in your kids' time in kids' church, we'll pick up on that today, and we can talk about it over morning tea or at home amongst our families, that Jesus has God's authority over sickness. He showed us, he's shown us that he is the Son of God, the mighty, mighty King. Now, last week we started off singing this family song, and then I cut it halfway in the middle because I pressed the button I'm going to put the button down after I've pressed it and we can sing along. So let's stand up, and if you know this song with me, here we go. One of Colin's songs. You can do the sign.
Jesus is the mighty, mighty King. Jesus is the mighty, mighty King. God made him the boss of everything, and Jesus is the mighty, mighty King. Laura is not the boss, Elliot is not the boss, Riley is not the boss, Jesus is the boss, cause Jesus is the mighty, mighty King. Jesus is the mighty, mighty King. God made him the boss of everything, and Jesus is the mighty, mighty King. Emily is not the boss. James is not the boss. Lewis is not the boss. No. Jesus is the boss. Jesus is the mighty, mighty King. Jesus is the mighty, mighty King. God made him the boss of everything, and Jesus is the mighty, mighty King. Now you are not the boss. I am not the boss. They are not the boss. Jesus is the boss, cause Jesus is the mighty, mighty King. Jesus is the mighty, mighty King. God made him the boss of everything, and Jesus is the mighty, mighty. Jesus is the mighty, mighty. Jesus is the mighty, mighty King. Yes, sir.
Well done. All right, now kids, off you go. Before you go, I'm going to pray. Before we go off to kids' church, and then we'll just have a little greeting time. Heavenly Father, we thank you for children, we thank you for young people, and we thank you for those who teach them about you, Jesus. We thank you that we are one big family, young and old, who love Jesus and want to live life your way. Go with our children now. Thank you for our leaders. May they learn more about you, God, and grow in their knowledge and love of you. Amen. All right, see you a little bit later on. We just turn around COVID safely to the people nearby you and just say good morning, welcome to church, and I shall hand it over now the service to Tina. Hi, Tina. It's over to you now.
Oh, thank you so much. Good morning, all. It's lovely and a privilege to be here this morning with all of you. And of course, to those who are listening, a warm welcome. It's lovely to be able to know that you are worshipping today with us. The psalmist wrote, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want." And I think God has done a mighty, mighty thing through Jesus our Lord. And this, he is truly the provider, and he has truly provided for us a way to him. He's also provided us with his word. So we have a lot to be thankful for. The Lord be with you. We're going to join in this song, prayer together, a prayer of thanksgiving. For we do have so much to be thankful for. Please join with me in these words. Gracious God, we humbly thank you for all your gifts so freely given to us, for life and health and safety, for power to work, leisure to rest, and for all that is beautiful in creation and human life. Above all, we praise you for our Saviour Jesus Christ, for his death and resurrection, for the gift of your Spirit, and for the hope of sharing in your glory. Fill our hearts with all joy and peace in believing through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We're about to hear from God's Word, and bringing us God's Word today is Robin. And so this is really good. We're hearing from the Bible, of course, and what we could actually say is the family book. Thank you, Robin.
Thank you, Heavenly Father, for all scripture that is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Open our hearts to receive your word, that we may know you better and be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our Bible reading today is Luke 4, 38-44. Jesus left the synagogue and went to the home of Simon. Now Simon's mother-in-law was suffering from a high fever, and they asked Jesus to help her. So he bent over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. She got up and at once and began to wait on them. At sunset, the people brought to Jesus all who had various kinds of sickness, and laying his hands on each of them, he healed them. Moreover, demons came out of people, shouting, "You are the Son of God." But he rebuked them and would not allow them to speak, because they knew he was the Messiah. At daybreak, Jesus went out to a solitary place. The people were looking for him, and when they came to where he was, they tried to keep him from leaving them. But he said, "I must proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns also, because that is why I was sent." And he kept on preaching in the synagogue of Judea. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, once again, good morning, everyone. Turn with me in your Bibles to today's reading that Robin just read to us. Keep it open there at Luke chapter 4, verses 38-44. I'll give you a little time just to open up the scriptures again, or to keep your eyes focused on those words. And I too will find them in my Bible here, which I just closed up. There we go. Now, you remember the reason for Luke writing his gospel. Way back in chapter 1, verse 4, he tells us that we may know the certainty of the things we have been taught. The things regarding Jesus and his person and his work. Luke has told us why in chapter 19, verse 10, as well as a supplementary little verse there. He says, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." Son of Man as being a title for the Messiah, the Christ, God's King in God's kingdom. It's a title God himself gave to himself, spoken of by the prophets in the Old Testament, as in the books of Ezekiel and Daniel, in anticipation of coming into the world with all God's authority. And if you read them in the context of Ezekiel and Daniel, that's how you would understand the Son of Man, the Christ, the Messiah, God's King and God's kingdom when he came would be. Mankind is a reference to us being the ones lost, lost in the eyes of God, to God, who desires for us to be found and to be saved, to be right with God. And that's the reason for why he sent Jesus into the world. And Jesus himself, as we've heard read, has claimed to be that promised Son of Man, Messiah, Christ, God's King over his kingdom. You'll remember back in Luke chapter 4, if you turn back a few pages to verses 18 and 19 and 21, you remember when he's in the synagogue, his very first sermon was from Isaiah, and he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour. And then Jesus sat down, began the sermon on this passage by saying, and summing it up, today in your hearing, this scripture is fulfilled. Our certainty and confidence in this, that Jesus is the Son of Man, the Son of God, depends on the credentials and credibility of the one whom God has sent to do this, Jesus. So we come to this reading this morning, and any reading for that matter in the Gospel of Luke, with this in mind, knowing this is why God caused Luke to write his Gospel for us. Previously, in the verses leading up to today's reading, we read of Jesus exercising the authority of God over evil, casting out a demon, an impure spirit from a man. One of a number of occasions we read of in Luke's Gospel where Jesus did this. We are left without a doubt as to who is the stronger of the two. Jesus is. God has made him, as our song earlier on, boss of everything. In verse 38 there, look with me, and following, we now read that Jesus exercises his authority, all of God's authority, over sickness, in demonstrating this in healing the mother-in-law of Simon. This is one again of many, many occasions we read of in Luke's Gospel where Jesus healed people of their sickness, and doing so, fulfilling Scripture, proclaiming freedom for the prisoner, recovery of sight to the blind, setting the oppressed free, proclaiming the year of the Lord's favour. And so we pick it up at verse 38. Jesus left the synagogue and he went to the home of Simon. Now Simon's mother-in-law was suffering from a high fever, and they asked Jesus to help her. So he bent over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. She got up at once and began to wait on them. Who was Simon? We have a Simon in our congregation. Not talking about that Simon. Simon, we read in the next chapter, was a fisherman. Later, we know him as the Apostle Peter. He's married or has been married, and he's living with his mother-in-law. Brave man. No, I'm only joking. All right. Simon is not alone. We're told they asked Jesus to help her. Little things like this we can just overlook, you know. They asked Jesus to help her, Simon's mother-in-law. Who are the they? Well, the they could be Simon's wife and children, or it's more likely a small group of people that we're introduced to now, of which Simon is one, who have become a close group accompanying Jesus, who later become officially his disciples, his followers, later the apostles, who will continue Jesus' ministry in the establishment of God's church. We read Jesus obliges and he rebukes the fever. It's interesting to note that it's the same word Luke uses here for rebuke that he used previously to that Jesus rebuked the demon, the impure spirit in the man in the synagogue. It's suggesting a connection between the two, that we shouldn't be surprised of living in a fallen and broken and imperfect world that's influenced by evil. That Jesus had come to fix this broken world and its people. Ultimately, we know he does and will in his return. a picture of that which we get in Revelation, don't we? At the end of the book, where there is no more sickness, no more crying, no more dying, where we call what we call heaven, the new creation. So with a word, the fever leaves Simon's mother-in-law immediately. Not after a period of time, but immediately. And again, without a doubt, we are left with knowing who has God's authority to heal the sick and do so simply by a word. It's Jesus, God's Son, the Son of Man, who's come to seek and to save the lost. It's no surprise here what Jesus can do gets around. And we read there in verse 40, at the end of the day, all right? So this miracle, this healing has happened at some point in the day, but at the end of the day, that same day at sunset, the people brought to Jesus all who had various kinds of sickness. We can imagine the situation. Crowds rushing awkwardly, hopefully, with their sick loved ones up to and amassing around Simon's home. The picture is of somewhat of hopeful desperation gathered around Simon's home. The last couple of years, especially at the beginning of the pandemic, we've seen scenes possibly similar on our TVs of people rushing to hospitals with the sick in their cars or in their arms and the dying. And here we read in Jesus' time, despite the chaos, despite the desperate need pressing in with compassion, Jesus, we read there, laid his hands on each one. Not all, not a big one, but on each one and healed them. Though primarily Luke is reminding us in his gospel that Jesus, our Lord and Savior, is the one who has the credentials and the credibility to be the one whom God has sent to save us, put us right with God, we mustn't overlook the compassion of our Lord in him doing so. This is no matter-of-fact activity Jesus went about doing, as if, another one to heal. Oh, there you go. Another one to heal. There you go. Another one. No. But in love and service of others, with each individual person in mind, out of compassion and care, he demonstrated his authority to heal the sick at that time and being the one to be who had been sent with all authority to put us right with God in the way in which he cared and healed. Somewhat what we see, I think, presently in our nurses and our doctors, in that care for us and those at this present moment who are in their care. It's not a matter of fact job for them, but out of love and compassion, they seek to be God's instruments of healing and help and care in these desperate times. I'm sorry, I hope you don't mind me just showing you this. I found it on the internet. It's a bit of a light-hearted, but I thought this was rather funny. And you have to look at the picture. Oh, you can't see it? Oh, the picture's saying, when you're afraid of getting the needle, but your girlfriend's watching. And here we have a little boy getting the needle, and he's putting on a brave face. But because his girlfriend's watching there, all right? sadly, as there is today in the good being done by those who seek to care for us. In Jesus' time, there was that which sought to undermine the good God was doing. In Jesus' time, it was the devil seeking to whisk up in the people the selfish, frenzied belief that the Messiah was simply their miracle worker, come into the world to be our immediate, all-perfect doctor every day at call. This was not why Jesus came. And we read he quickly silenced, muzzled is the word used, such notions that confused the people. Look there with me at verse 41. Demons came out of many people shouting, "You are the Son of God!" But he rebuked them and would not allow them to speak because they knew he was the Messiah. He was not wanting to be one caught up with only being thought of as one who came to heal. Though it was a sign and testimony that the kingdom of God, the rule of God, the authority of God had come in Jesus into the world as prophesied, we are not to think that to heal or to be healed is the greatest gift God can give to those who are sick or dying. To see him only as our constant companion, to call on only as we would a doctor or an ambulance when sick. And sadly, so many turn away from Jesus when Jesus does not comply to their will and wishes. This is explained in the following verses. Look with me at verses 42 to 44. It's now the next morning. Not some time later. It's the next morning. At daybreak, Jesus went out to a solitary place. As a side note, if Jesus needs time out to think about the things of God and live life in perspective of that, if it's good enough for the Son of God, it's good enough for you and it's good enough for me. We need to respect that amongst us there. At daybreak, Jesus went out to a solitary place. The people were looking for him. Why were they looking for them? And when they came to where he was, they tried to keep him from leaving them. Right? Can you see the temptation there? Stay with us. Be our miracle worker. Be ours only. All right? But he said, "I must proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God, the rule of God, the authority of God, the one who has the credentials and the credibility to be able to come into the world to seek and save the lost. I must proclaim this to other towns as well as your own, because that is why I was sent," Jesus said. And how did he go about doing that primarily? Luke records he kept on preaching in their synagogues, going back to reminding the readers and listeners and us, we are to trust God at his word, as Jesus was doing. The good news of the kingdom of God is for all to hear and believe. And it comes from preaching, sharing, giving that testimony, telling that loved one, praying for them about the kingdom of God. As I said earlier, this is not the only occasion in Luke's gospel that Jesus demonstrated his authority over sickness. In your Bible study notes, I have listed a further few for you to read, and in your Bible study groups or whenever in your quiet time, you may choose to read the other readings as well and get a good balance as to how Luke portrays the healing ministry, the authority of God in Jesus through his healing in Luke's gospel. But remember, these are recorded that we may be certain that with compassion for the lost, Jesus had all the authority of God to heal those who were sick, but ultimately, he had all the authority of God to seek and to save you and me and all people who were once lost to God, but now have been found. Praise God. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, continue to remind us through Luke's gospel of the certainty of the things that we have been taught of your son Jesus and the reason for why you sent him into the world in history. Reassure us. Give us strength and courage to trust you at your word as Jesus did. And we ask this in his name. Amen.
What a blessing that we have God's word. What a blessing it is to be able to read and reread and ponder and think over God's word. It keeps us grounded, it teaches us the truth. And in our next psalm, which we're about to say together, we can reflect on how important God's word is and for us to remind ourselves of what God has done in his word. Would you like to say with me together this Psalm 119? How can a young person stay on the path of purity? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Praise be to you, Lord. Teach me your decrees. With my lips I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. I rejoice in following your statutes, as one rejoices in great riches. I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. Jesus never neglected the word because he was the word, but he knew everything. And what a great and beautiful saviour, as our first song said. We're now going to sing another song. And it recalls the life of Jesus here on earth. And it also recalls his authority, why he came, and gives honour to him. Let's join together, would you please stand, to sing about Jesus, our King. Sorry.
This is a new song that we learnt last week, so just join as you're feeling comfortable.
Jesus, he is mighty to save. His love like an ocean, we sink in its waves. Here washing the blood of the crucified one, and shout his salvation in heaven begun. He is holy, strong and mighty, King of kings, the Son of God. Oh, do not dishonor the name of our King, to think that you cannot be free from all sin. He died to redeem you, his promise is sure. Wash you and keep you eternally pure. He is holy, strong and mighty, maker
Please be seated. We come to a time of prayer. And we begin our time of prayer looking back at ourselves, thinking we didn't quite make God's standards. Praise God for Jesus. Although we are the people of God, Scripture reminds us that we still sin. We need to confess our failures, knowing that the Lord Jesus died for us and intercedes for us with the Father. So we're going to draw near to God now, who freely forgives us through his infinite goodness and mercy. And we're going to pray to him with sincerity and confidence in these words. Heavenly Father, we praise you for adopting us as your children and making us heirs of eternal life. In your mercy, you have washed us from our sins and made us clean in your sight. Yet we still fail to love you and serve you as we should. Forgive us our sins and renew us by your grace, that we may continue to grow as members of Christ, in whom alone is our salvation. Amen. God is slow to anger and full of compassion. He forgives all who humbly repent and turn to his Son, Jesus Christ, in whom there is no condemnation. Amen. Please join together in the words that Jesus taught his disciples. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Diane's going to lead us in further prayer.
Almighty God, loving Father, we come before you to offer our prayers to you, knowing the assurance you have given us that you hear all our requests. We thank you for the promises we can find in your word that point us to your character and the grace you continue to show us. We bring to you our prayers for the world. We ask for a peaceful solution to the tensions at the Ukraine-Russia border. Please bring wise heads to the negotiating table to prevent further escalation and threats being enacted. Protect those who live in this region and restore trust and safety to them. Guide those world leaders who are negotiating with the governments of the region to speak wisely and reduce the tensions currently being felt. Continue to bring relief to Tonga, to all affected by the recent volcanic explosion. Following relief efforts, we pray for safety and good management of recent coronavirus outbreaks that have entered the country. We pray for quick restoration of services, sufficient COVID management resources, and protection from the spread of the virus through the population. We ask that the gospel might reach around the world to all those who need to know you, that they can be comforted and know your peace. We bring to you our prayers for Australia. We pray for the candidates involved in yesterday's by-elections in New South Wales and pray that those elected can be mindful of their responsibilities to all voters and that they can draw on your wisdom to guide them in their roles. As we are building to the federal elections over the next few months, we pray for sensible debate, thoughtful promises, and a focus on the needs of Australians beyond strictly political lines and into genuine concern to serve all parts of society more equally. We ask that personal ambition is secondary to service and that building a cohesive, fair country is a goal. We offer our prayers and thanks for those who work in schools teaching SRE, especially Trevor and Fiona, who visit Russell Lee and Abbotsford Primary Schools. We pray that as they return this week, they will be able to proclaim your truth clearly. Fill them with your truth and clothe them with holiness so that your light may be clearly seen through them. We also pray for the work of Anglican school chaplains. Help them serve well the needs of the children they spend time with and bless their work. As the new council settles into their positions, we ask that Canada Bay Council, under the Mayor Angelo Sirikas, is able to provide clear leadership for our local area in maintaining and managing the assets for which they are responsible and providing support for our community in a fair and balanced manner. Like the rest of the world, we have been thrown by the events of the past 2 years or so. We thank you for technology which has enabled so many to keep connected to each other, but also acknowledge the challenges that this time has brought to our sense of who we are and how we cope with such change and shifts in how our lives have been challenged to do. If we have fallen prey to fear and anxiety, we pray for your Holy Spirit to draw us back to you as our Lord and Saviour, and to restore our hearts to seek you for restoration and comfort. Let your word reveal to us anew your mercy and grace and restore us to praise and thanksgiving for the trustworthiness of who you are. Keep us focused on things eternal and grant us strength and protection to support us. We ask for healing, comfort and reassurance to all those from our church family here at St Andrews who have been facing or are continuing to face illness or the after effects of illness. We also pray for those family members who are caring for them, whose lives have also been affected by the change caused by these circumstances. May your Holy Spirit stay close to them all and prompt them to look to you for peace and comfort during this time. Let us also serve them well in whatever way we can by prayer, acts of service, or any other comfort we are able to provide. Guide us in this, dear Lord, and help us see and hear clearly how we can be useful in your service. Let us pray that everything we do will be guided by God's love. God our Father, you have promised to remain forever with those who do what is just and right. Help us to live in your presence. We ask this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.
This is a great opportunity for us to stand and confirm what we really believe. It's an affirmation of our faith and a strengthening for the church to be a witness to the world. Do you believe in God the Father? We believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. Do you believe in God the Son? We believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. From there, he will come to judge the living and the dead. Do you believe in the Holy Spirit? We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Thanks, Tina. Please be seated, everyone. I'm going to ask now if the kids would like to come in. I can see there might be a few rushing in any moment now as they are flying through. Hi, Megan. Hi, you want to send the kids in? You want to bring the kids in? Come on in. While we're doing that, I'm going to flick to a couple of announcements that are coming up that I've got. Men, all right, we've got a fun day coming up, and that fun day is a bowling day on Saturday the 26th of February from 10 through till 12 noon, and if there'll be a barbecue lunch afterwards, it's at the Concord Bowling Club, and the cost is $15. And if you'd like to come along and join in that, put your name down at the back of the church now on a bit of paper that's up the back there. Also, thank you for giving towards ministry in this place and beyond. Thank you for doing that regularly, either online or through the envelopes. And thank you this month for thinking about giving towards SRE and the cost of material to go to our school kids and their workbooks through the little envelope that's at the end of your pews that are there. And afterwards, after church today, you're welcome, if you would like prayer, to come forward. And today we have Barbara and Dick, who will be most happy to pray with you and for you after the church. All right. Would you like to tell us something about, who'd like to come rushing up and tell us, what have you learnt in church today? Let me get a microphone. In kids' church. Who wants to be our star today? This is Charlie, for those who don't know who Charlie is.
So today in kids' church, we learnt about how Jesus heals the sick through commanding that the disease leaves them, and this scared off the demons that were causing the sickness inside the people. And once he said this, all the demons left the people and they were all cured. This happened through him saying it. And Luke wrote to Theophilus about knowing the full story and knowing and having the confidence in believing Jesus.
Oh, thanks, Charlie. Naomi? Charlie?
Oh, no, that's not mine.
Oh, that's mine.
I'm thankful to God for guiding Luke to write a record about all of these activities of Jesus so that we can know the full truth about him.
Yeah, thanks, Naomi. Thanks you. Well done. Terrific. Great. So, the purpose of this is to encourage the conversations over morning tea about the things that we've learned, you know, and at home as well. Thanks, kids. Wonderful. All right. Also, there's the other, whoever comes to church first can ring the bell. I'm sure Max won't mind that. He'll be happy for you to help. So whoever comes to church first gets to ring the bell. I think, Erwin, you rang it today. So you can ring it at the end of church today as well, too. So grab Max and he'll help you ring the bell. All right. Awesome. Okay. Karen, would you like to come and tell us about your things that are happening for ladies? There we go.
Thank you very much. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning, Karen.
I'd like to start the year. I know that you've already had information about some of these things that I'm going to remind you of, but I just wanted to say it's wonderful to feel like we can start a year with plans and we can start a year with some events to attend coming up. So I'm really excited to be able to just remind you about some of these things that you've already seen in our notices. But I would like to draw your attention to the Mothers Union conference on the 25th of February, which we will live stream here at church. I'll just make a comment today about the speakers. Joe Gibbs is the CEO of the Anglican Deaconess Ministries here in Sydney, and we've heard her speak previously at the One Love conference. She's an excellent speaker. And I do know Jo, and she has wonderful things to say, so I highly commend her to you. Rob Smith, you've probably sung his songs in church many a week for many a year. And he lectures in ethics and theology at SMBC, and a great speaker. Jenny Brown is a psychologist, and she has spoken at this Mothers Union conference in the past and has a lot of deep insight into families and how families can relate well with each other. So I highly commend these speakers to you. It's a safe way to come. We're just going to be a small group here at the church, so you don't have to catch public transport into the city to attend. So please think about coming, and it's free, and I can register you online if that's helpful. Over the last few years, we've had the great blessing of having families in our church, senior mature families, praying for our kids' families, our kids' church families, and it's been a great blessing to both the children and I think to those that have prayed for them. So this year again, we'll be having our first family picnic here in the churchyard after church on Sunday the 27th, just a little picnic together to connect with each other. So I just wanted you to know that that's happening. So if that doesn't include you, please be praying for us and our church families. But for those of you that are involved or would like to be involved, please let me know if you're able to attend. And the wonderful thing is we can gather for morning tea just to keep up with each other, but also on the 5th of March, on Saturday morning, here at 9:30, we'll be having an opportunity to support a charity called Share the Dignity. Now, Share the Dignity are working hard to overcome period poverty by providing sanitary items to women in difficulty. So they have installed all sorts of dispensing machines, and they work through refuges and other charities as well in partnership. And we'll be hearing a little bit more about the organisation that morning. But it's an opportunity for you to donate to their March collection drive. So if between now and then you can just buy a couple of products in your weekly shop, often they're half price, it doesn't have to be an expensive brand, anything is helpful, and as much as you can manage is helpful. And bring them along on the day or beforehand, or if you're not able to come on the day, you can give them to me beforehand. And if you could sign up for that at the back of the church, that will just help us with catering, but we'd love you to be a part of that. And please feel free to bring a friend or neighbours. We'd love to connect with them as well. So thank you. I look forward to seeing you at all those events.
Thanks, Karen. Exciting things happening and exciting things to pray for. Well, we're going to sing our final song together. So invite our musos up. And as they're coming up, just to remind again, as you, we're thankful for those who are providing morning tea for us today and those who have put their names on the roster to do that. Thank you for that fellowship and service to us. Grab your cup of tea, grab your coffee, grab a biscuit and move straight out into the playground and keep that social distancing together.
This last song is an oldie moldie for everybody. So, At the Name of Jesus. It's a wonderful hymn. It goes through the progression and it claims that Jesus is the Son of God. And if you just pay attention as you sing along, it sort of does a logical progression about who Jesus is, what he came to do, and our response to that as we live our lives. So, let's stand and let's sing At the Name of Jesus. Just brace yourself. There are six verses.
Oh,
Just to the people around you, and as you look to them, let's say this grace together as we go out, this prayer for each other. Father, take us and use us to love and serve you and all people in the power of your Spirit and in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with
you. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord in the name of Christ. Amen.